prayer does not start with me. In the name of one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good to see you. We, in some ways, continue the series on prayer. We inaugurated last week with the litany, Silas Praying. And here we get into the heart of it for the next several weeks. Apologies in advance. Whenever you do a sermon series of a kind, you wind up not making direct connections to the readings of Scripture for the day. That will continue, but you will be forbearing since we hardly ever do this anyway. And maybe you'll say at the end of it, don't ever do it again. But let's begin with a larger distant vision of prayer. Well, to be a follower of Jesus is to be intimately bound up with the practice of prayer. Prayer connects us with God and through God, necessary, therefore, to all others. If God, being God, creates, sustains, and perfects all existence from the moment ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing, God brought forth all things, then the creating, sustaining, and perfecting God is still at it, so to speak, at work. And any practice of prayer, therefore, necessarily connects us with all. Let's take a rather remarkable fact of prayer in our hearts when we are typing out on the social network of our life that tends to emphasize the full solution of our disability. We are not. C.S. Lewis writes in a classic from the mid-century of the last century. He writes about prayer in a mystical kind of way, I think, but in ordinary ways. He writes, I mean this. An ordinary, simple Christian kneels down to say her prayers. She is trying to get in touch with God. But if she is a Christian, she knows that what is prompting her to pray has also got God's listening inside. But she also knows that all the real knowledge of God comes through Christ, the person who loves God, that God is just standing beside her, helping her to pray, praying for her. You see what is happening. God is the thing to which she is praying, the goal she is trying to reach. God is also the thing inside her, which is pushing her on the north of God. God is also the road or bridge along which she is being pushed to that goal. So that whole threefold life of the three persons of God is actually going on in that ordinary little bedroom where an ordinary person, man or woman, is saying their prayers. The person is caught up into the higher kind of life. She is being pulled into God by God while yet remaining herself. Lewis depicts the sacred mystery of the Trinity in such an approachable term ways, not extraordinary that it would be quoted 100 years later. Prayer, though, is not some kind of technique. It's not some like a martial art, jujitsu versus taekwondo, or even yoga versus tai chi. We are indeed categories of prayer that no doubt we will touch upon in the coming weeks, intercession, thanksgiving, adoration, petition, oblation, and so forth. And there are obviously distinctions to be made between, say, contemplation and meditation, between personal prayer and corporate prayer. Corporate, that is, congregational prayer, praying in a group. I often wonder when I say corporate prayer, what do people think? They think CEO Johnson and praying about the bottom line. I don't know. You know, there's that whole argument about prayer in school. I prefer prayer in the corporate board, wouldn't you? Maybe a higher version of shareholder value? That would be refreshing. We can take that out on podcasts or on Facebook. Let us not lead too quickly to grander views. Full travel specific ways and means of prayer. Grander vision should view and infuse all thoughts. Because often our expectations about, you know, wrong consciously or not, sometimes expect that prayer will solve our problems, answer our questions, satisfy our desires. These are not the purposes of prayer. Which is countercultural in a way. Modern sensibility is so intensely self-conscious. Our consumer culture, our obsession with options and choices, our pursuit of happiness, we think too much about ourselves and our own preferences. Our prayer life will not live up to these unrealistic dramas. Nothing in this world minds will let your question solve all your problems, satisfy all your desires. These are impossible, I would say, immature ambitions. The spiritual life consists largely in realizing that they are just that. The purpose of life, as I have often said, is sort of unitive devotion in service to God, serving God alone, which includes the love of neighbor and whom God loves. This is the real purpose of any spiritual life. Now, my spiritual life can be so directly ordered that you'd be like, you know, sisters of the convent of men. Other lives are less and more indirectly ordered in that way, but they make no mistake, it is the same. There are different versions of the non-human vocation. To love and serve, to become one with Him in Christ, as we care for others, and even here, we care as if we care for Christ in them. Now, prayer life is really a school of charity, a means of surrendering oneself. Your prayer life is a means by which you self-serving ego, that whole thing that struts upon the stage for an hour or so, is subverted in order to be resurrected to be a servant of what we've done. And that is all we can expect. But that is everything, isn't it? That is the meaning of life. That is all it really is. My prayer life is where I learn to let go of the questions, carry the cross of my problems, and live mysteriously be fulfilled, even when I'm not happy. We have some choice as to how we undergo the process. We do not, so long as we abide the grace of God, get to choose whether or not we want to go. Of all the wrong expectations that we bring to prayer, perhaps the most pernicious is the expectation that everything will finally make sense. We imagine that our true calling will be finite and bring full kind of coherence and resolution to our fragmentary, broken, uneven world. Modern life, as we live it, with its combination of extreme intensity and instability, promotes both sort of the fragmentation of the psyche, the intense self-focus that makes the fragmentation especially more painful. Naturally, we want to put the pieces back together, loose ends, tied up. The demand to do that just creates even more havoc. To be sure, true prayer with God is sort of coherence to it. When we understand the way forward, direction in prayer, a new way, we will have a degree of clarity at least regarding which prayer to say next. What is it we will take on a pilgrimage towards the next and the next and the next way? Our ultimate destination is different. It's a very common trap in prayer to sort out joining together the scattered puzzle pieces of my life, healing and disintegration, painful and coherence of the past, present, and future. Prayer will not cause life to make sense in that way. Not completely certain. Prayer is not about finding a hidden magic key to unlock the life and solve the riddle of your existence. When you figure out a prayer life and begin to do it, you will be just as much a mystery to yourself as you are now. Your daily confusions, your current frustrations, deep puzzlements, movement, life, even movement by faith, will be an enigma. At least as much as it was before. This is how things must be for us on earth. things are going to be different in the world to come. For now, we only see in the glass darkly, says Paul. And then where my secret and eternal name that I don't even know yet will be given to me. Says the Revelation. For my prayer life is not the answer to the question of my name, it is only part of God's pledge that the answer will be given at the end. Nor will a prayer life feel a deep sense of incompleteness and longing that I feel. This is many people fail in prayer because they expect life's call to satisfy, or at least take away the impossible and expressible volume that lies upon them. That strange mix of awe and desire and sadness and expectancy for this true existence. Or a prayer, whatever it may be, cannot exactly do that. For that longing, as we wander through this world, that longing we must bear, and let it be fashioned as a vacancy for God. A vacancy for God. Prayer is, in that sense, named that it's not pretending, not supplementing it, not through overwork or overscheduling or overpartying or overaction or overthinking or overwatching your cell phone or your stupid Apple Watch that tells you where your heart's going. That is determined as opposed to the direction of life. Binge watching in order to not watch something. All of this, the complexity of it all, accompanies us in our prayers. It will exist without contradiction, alongside the joy and the truth of the gospel. It is what we celebrate that accompanies us in our journey. It is a mystical unit that begins here and now. If it is to occur at all, spiritual life in the end is simply a means by which you allow the vacancy of God to take hold in your life and not to avoid it. There's a saying, there's no escaping yourself. Wherever you go, there you are. Conventional wisdom then is untrue. Or at least half true. It might be truer to say that in the way of prayer, we provide a distancing, a separation, transcendence that preserves all our natural gifts, but takes the focus off ourselves. We remain ourselves while our focus simply rests on the Lord, ever present, filling all things. Then we, in that sense, have escape. We no longer look at ourselves anxiously or pridefully as the ways in which we failed or the ways in which we succeeded in any kind of doom. We look at ourselves only as what is necessary at minimum, simply because we look upon Christ and our neighbor with whom Christ identifies himself. It was only then, paradoxically, that we begin to forget ourselves and see ourselves rightly and know who we are in the end, as we can. And that's the only escape, in a way, that there is no shortcuts, not allowed to, they don't work, they just postpone. You're going to anesthetize yourselves with any number of things, drunk or consumed, or behaviors of any kind of way. Such choices don't work. But to remain in prayer, to allow for the vacancy of God, it means that all these things find their residence and perspective beyond ourselves. We won't reach that goal by ordinary human means, by calculation, strategy, carefully, by dieting or working out, or by a stupid phone that continues to ring at me. But only to allow ourselves the space So we can say with St. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ within me. It's radical, it's countercultural, it's being a hippie of the highest order. It goes beyond our natural inclinations, but this is the gospel. The self-emptying attitude of Christ that should also be in us. It is the only mindset by which we can revive and sustain prayer life and its true life that finally is life. We might enter into a new way. We're always craving that sense of, oh, finally I've got it together. Finally I'm in peace. But I think that is not the goal of prayer life, for that itself is self-deceiving, even satisfaction. We will be changed as we persevere. The change will not take place merely by changing circumstances, but being reshaped over the course of years. Slowly, as we are freed from the trap of selfishness, self-absorption, self-this and self-that, into which we were born from the very beginning. As we are freed by the school of charity in our prayers, Christ will teach us to forget our wants, even our needs, for the sake of charity that seeks not its own. And so we embrace the letting of Jesus into our life completely. And we wish to love more than ourselves, which is our end anyway. Why not find it at our beginning? And I do not mean to fix on a sentimental idea of worshiping in the throne of metal distraction somewhere. Or would it simply means living in the fullness of reality, recognizing and loving a Lord who is absolutely transcendent yet present, the Son of God, in the words of the great poet Jeremiah Manley Hopkins. Plays in a thousand places. Lovely in things to love him, eyes not his. To the Father, to whom the features of men's faces. When the end of prayer is becoming one of these faces, it is not your own. But the light of your eyes should be the light of Christ living within you. And then when I gaze upon you, I gaze upon the holiness of God. And when I hear your voice, I hear Christ calling me to love better, to be better, to stay better. And when you touch my hand and hug me, I feel the embrace of the eternal God making me something that was intended from the beginning. This is the goal of prayer life. Facing God and becoming the face of God.